I found a story. It's called The Final Bid. And hopefully by the end of the sermon, you will get it. And that it was a good choice, I'm hoping. It's by Robert Strand. A very wealthy English baron, Fitzgerald, had only one child, a son, who understandably was the apple of his eye, the center of his affections, an only child, the focus of this little family's attention. The son grew up, but in his early teens, his mother died, leaving him and his father. Fitzgerald grieved over the loss of his wife, but devoted himself to fathering their son. In the passing of time, the son became very ill and died in his late teens. In the meantime, the Fitzgerald financial holdings greatly increased. The father had used much of his wealth to acquire artworks of the masters. And with the passing of more time, Fitzgerald himself became ill and died. Previous to his death, he had carefully prepared his will with explicit instructions as how to his estate would be settled. He had directed that there would be an auction in which his entire collection of art would be sold because of the quantity and quality of the artworks in his collection, which was valued in the millions of English pounds. A huge crowd of prospective buyers gathered expectantly. Among them were many museum curators and private collectors eager to bid. The artworks were displayed for viewing before the auction began. Among them was one painting which received little attention. It was of poor quality and done by an unknown local artist. It happened to be a portrait of Fitzgerald's only son. When the time came for the auction to begin, the auctioneer gathered the crowd to attention, and before the bidding began, the attorney read first from the will of Fitzgerald, which instructed that the first painting to be auctioned was the painting of my beloved son. The poor quality painting didn't receive any bidders except one. The only bidder was the old servant who had known the son and loved him and served him, and for sentimental reasons offered the only bid. For less than an English pound, he bought the painting. The auctioneer stopped the bidding and asked the attorney to read again from the will. The crowd was hushed. It was quite unusual. And the attorney read from the Fitzgerald will. Whoever buys the painting of my son gets all my collection. The auction is over. What this story made me think about was if we know, if we care, if we have a relationship, if we love, our perspectives, our attitudes, our actions, and our goals in life all change. The man basically was revealing, if you love my son, if you love what my son did or what he accomplished, and you buy into it, accept it, and even though the painting wasn't of good quality, find it worthy and having value, I will give you all that I have. God has given to each one of us all that he has. God gives himself. And with our collect, we learn with him comes all. that he has prepared for us. In the collect, the first line reads, O God, you have prepared for those who love you such good things as surpass our understanding. God's presence, his abundance, his gifts are all beyond our understanding, our comprehension. They're beyond our desire. They're beyond our personal limited way of loving, showing compassion, being forgiving, and definitely of our putting God first, others next, and ourselves last. That's difficult to do, and it's difficult, next to impossible to do all the time, 24/7. The lessons today express how by our love we can please God. And we are capable of doing it. We have the ability because we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. And like that story, if we appreciate, if we know Jesus, if we care, if we follow him in his ways, take the time to have a relationship with him, and then truly love him enough to obey his commandments, we will get it all. We will get all the inheritance. Nothing is too great for us from our God. Remember last week, our lesson say, if we love him, if we believe in Jesus, if we obey him, Jesus said, I will do whatever you ask in my name. I will do whatever you ask in my name. God gives us his presence each and every day, and God gives us the kingdom, his kingdom, for all eternity. His love for us has absolutely no limits. Now, this portion of the gospel is basically a final teaching, a final farewell, and even a promise. Jesus teaches us that our total lives depend on how much we love. Our love is the defining motivation and reality of our showing, our witness, our example given of our behavior everywhere, every moment, and in everything we do, everything we think, say, all of who we are. All of that is the direct result of how much we truly love the Lord our God. This right here reminded me of my favorite part in every wedding, and I had one yesterday. This absolutely blows me away every time I read it, either for the husband or the wife, or the wife-to-be, the bride. They say to each other, I give you this ring as a symbol of my vow, and with all that I am and all that I have, I honor you. What love is that? The kind we are to have for one another and God. In this gospel, we learn, we hear how Jesus will ask God the Father to give us another advocate, the Spirit of truth, his Holy Spirit, who will never leave us, that's his promise, and who cannot ever be taken away from us, never, no matter what. Jesus said, I will not leave you orphaned. And here's just a side thought. Here Jesus knows, it's towards the end of his ministry, very towards the end. He knows he's about to be betrayed, abandoned by all of his disciples, tortured, crucified, died. He's going to be crucified. That's a terror. And who is he thinking about? Who is he comforting? Who is he reassuring and teaching and leading and guiding and loving? His disciples. Not himself, but those whom he loves. and that includes us, each and every one of us here today. Jesus puts God first, us next, our salvation. For us, it's good to remember that when we sin, we are putting ourselves first, and God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, last. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." A relationship with the Lord changes us personally, and it changes us as a parish. If we love him, we will keep his commandments. Our love is the best evangelistic tool that we have. And I know I'm stretching the point, and no, there will not be a test, but do you remember 2 weeks ago what we were reading and learning from Acts chapter 2? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. How did this change them? What's the point? What's the evangelism in this? Well, the next verse tells us, "Awe came upon everyone because of the many wonders and signs which were being done by the apostles." This pleases and glorifies our Lord, our God. What an awesome witness, what an awesome example of loving God. We can do the same through Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and for one purpose, to glorify our most holy and gracious and loving God. Amen.